Got some, you know, news tonight, sickness and all the things that we hear. The mission conference has to be cut back and all this. And it just seems to kind of bring a pall upon us, doesn't it? The pastor's not here and he's not feeling well. And we do pray for him and his family. And so I'm going to try to be a blessing tonight and try to go over a psalm here. I know we had Psalm 23 on Sunday morning, Psalm 67, I believe, on Sunday night. Now I want to look at Psalm number 31 tonight. And as you're looking, I just want to let you know that our visitation program, we've had a good time this summer and a good time knocking on doors and witnessing to people. And it's been a real blessing. And I'm hoping that next year, we'll get even more people out to knock on doors. And I know Wednesday night at 5 o'clock is a little bit inconvenient sometimes for folks who get home from work. Some of you are just getting home from work. But if at all possible, we'll provide more opportunities for you to knock on doors. But tonight was the last night for the 2021 visitation season. So that's what we're going to be doing. And next week, the time is going to get away from us where it's going to get darker. And so we're going to postpone our visitation on Wednesday night until the spring. And so we want you to know that. But we've had a wonderful time. And as I was sitting down there tonight waiting, and some folks were late, and I'm sitting there thinking, boy, I hope the rapture didn't take place. Then I thought, maybe Pastor knew the rapture was going to happen today. He said, I know, I'll ask Merle to preach. And so that's what I was thinking, and I'm sure that wasn't the case, because you're here, amen, and I'm here. I know the Lord, and I hope that you know the Lord also. We want to look at Psalm number 31 tonight. I'm going to be reading this whole thing just to get it into our hearts and our minds. Then we're going to go back over it. Years ago in Fillmore, Utah, when I was out there pastoring a small little church in south of Salt Lake City, about 150 miles, I did a series on Psalms, and I went through this material that we're looking at here tonight. And we came to this chapter, but we covered several of the Psalms. We didn't clear all the way through the Psalms, but I think we got through at least half of them. But I want to revisit this, and I don't think any of you were there, except maybe one, that heard this, and I want to go over it again. I know Pastor Leithley has went over it, and sometimes you wonder, well, what am I going to preach? What am I going to talk about? But I don't think there's probably not a portion of Scripture Pastor hasn't covered in the 30 years he's been here, amen? And he's been over many portions, maybe two or three times. But we want to look at Psalm number 31. And I want to start by reading out, in Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in Thy righteousness. Bow down Thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be Thou my strong rock for an house of defense to save me. For Thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privately for me, for thou art my strength. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities, and hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eyes is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly, for my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel, For I've heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life. But I trusted in Thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my God. My times are in Thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make Thy face to shine upon Thy servant. Save me for Thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon Thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put in silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. O, how great is Thy goodness, which Thou hast laid up for them that fear Thee, which Thou hast wrought for them that trust in Thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of My presence. From the pride of man Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for He has showed me His marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before Thine eyes. Nevertheless, Thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto Thee. O, love the Lord, all ye His saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, He shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that You bless the reading of Your Word. I pray that You bless the few moments that we have here tonight. And as we go through this portion of Scripture, Lord, and may we learn some mighty things, Lord, that would encourage our hearts, Lord. The chapter seems to be a distressing that David talks about. The strife and the heartache and the misery and all the things that were going on in his life. But Lord, I love that in the end, He says, be of good courage. Lord, I pray that You touch our hearts tonight. Help us, help our minds to be of good courage. Help us to rejoice in the salvation that God has provided through His Son, Jesus Christ. Guide us tonight and help us, Lord, to enjoy the Word of God as we look at it tonight, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 15 says, My times are in Thy hand. A preacher I heard a number of years ago said to take a piece of paper, and you could do it if you want. Take a piece of paper, you don't have to, but in your mind's eyes, take a piece of paper or way to mark something and draw an imaginary line. And to the left of that line would be the date of your birth, when you became a child and when you became a human and living upon this earth. He said, take an X and put an X where you're at right now on that line. Now, I know that's kind of a guessing game, amen? Because we don't know where the end of that line is. We don't know the end of it all. But if you took and put an X, he said, put an X where you think you are. Now, this is many years ago. So I was pretty close to the beginning of the line. Some of you might be thinking, well, my ex is kind of towards the end. And I'm thinking, too, my ex is a lot closer to the end than it was the first time. Everything to that left of that ex is where you have been. But everything to the right is the rest of your life. And David said, my times are in Thy hand. Now, I want to talk to you for a little bit about this chapter. But I want to touch on the fact that we have what we have left, the life that we have left. What is going to happen from this point on? Someone says you can't go back, but you can always look forward. And that's what we're going to do tonight. It's a little loud. I don't know if I'm talking louder. This is up too loud. But anyways, at least you can hear me, amen? So draw that line in your mind. Think about it. I remember many years ago that we had a friend that would come by and visit us when we were near Detroit, Michigan, Livonia, Michigan. And when we were living there, we had a friend that went to church. And he was a character. He was very energetic, young man, very smart, and very on fire for the Lord. He would come to church when his family didn't want anything to do with church. Matter of fact, they wished that he didn't have anything to do with church. Didn't have anything to do with the Lord. He surrendered his life and went to Chattanooga, Tennessee to go to the college down there. I'm trying to think of the college. I can't think of the name of it right now. But it was a Bible college down there. And he was going to school and he would come home and he'd bring a message. And boy, was he ever on fire for God. Was he ever touched with a presence that he could speak the Word of God. One day down in Chattanooga, Tennessee, he was driving on the freeway and was in an accident, thrown out of the car. And he laid in a coma for a few days and finally went home to be with the Lord. He was just a young man, barely in his 20s. And I think of that young man, that how his ex ended right there. He could have been on and preached the Word of God. I remember also a lady I used to do work for when I was working and trying to make ends meet, if you will. I remember going to this house to clean windows, and this lady followed me around as I was cleaning the windows, talking to me. And you know what she did? She was complaining that she had lived as long as she had. She kept saying, "Well, I didn't expect to live this long. I didn't expect to be in my 80s. I think she was 80 years old. And I thought, "Lady, you ought to be happy. You've had a good long life." One young, one old, had different lifespans. What are we going to do with the rest of our life? Our friend passed away. He did everything he could with his life for the Lord that he could. But what are you going to do? What am I going to do? And anytime I bring a message or preach or teach, I want it to be a blessing. I want you to learn something. I want to learn something. What will we do with the rest of our life? I know a man that I visited, one of our Sunday school kids, and we were talking, and he had lost his job, and he said, "Boy, I'm too old to go back to school." Folks, you're never too old to try something new. You're never too old. Roy Green, Dr. Don Green's father, went to college when he was almost 50 years old. Graduated from Bible college, and he would be a help to churches. He would start a church, and then leave, and he started a church. And in his 70s, he was still at a church trying to keep it going, being the pastor there, till the day that he could no longer do it. Again, what will we do with the rest of our lives? Verse 15, "My times are in thy hand." Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 12:7, "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." We will answer for the time that we have left. If there's life, there's hope. Amen. If there's life, we can go on. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 4 says, "A living dog is better than a dead lion." There's life. Solomon said even a dog is better than a dead lion. As long as we have life, we have hope. I remember when we were moving and when we were trying to clear up our house and trying to get rid of those things. I don't know about you, but you live in some place for a while, you accumulate a lot of things. And when it comes time to move, you're picking up stuff saying, "When is the last time that I used this?" And you're trying to weed through all that stuff. But I remember going through some of that stuff and I found a little gospel tract that my sons had written many years ago. Just little kids. And they had written that little tract and we had printed out some, and they were just a little tract. Had a little saying on the front that you need to be saved, and had little crosses on it. And as I looked at that, I thought of how fast time has gone by. It has just went by. And I imagine many of you can remember, boy, it just seemed like, a couple years ago, I was back in high school, or I was starting out my career, or I was having children. Amen. Time goes by. First, I'm just going to look at three things tonight, and we'll be done. Now, there are several subpoints, but that's okay. I want to look at three things about this chapter that we want to look at. We want to do it as a expository, look at each verse. We're not going to look at each and every verse, but we're going to cover a few things here tonight, and hopefully it'll be a blessing to you. I think the first thing that we need to do is to put our trust in the Lord. Look at verses 1 through 6. In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. The very first thing that David says is, I am going to put my trust in You, Lord. And I think that's a very important thing. Because to live a good life, to live a Christian life, you must be saved. You must trust the Lord. I was a church member for many years. I was 27 years old before I finally said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me. Had family, had children. But, you know, we can go through this life, but we must put our trust in God. Trusting in the Old Testament is believing in the New Testament. The same word, trust, is believe. In the New Testament. Do you understand? When the Old Testament talks about trust, trust. The New Testament talks about believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Believe on Him. Someone has said that the Old Testament saints got saved by looking forward. And the Old Testament saints, the New Testament saints got saved by, or are saved by looking to Jesus Christ. But I think the truth of the matter is that everybody is saved by grace. Amen? The Bible says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He wasn't saved because he was good. He wasn't saved because he was, read his Bible or read the Scripture, if he had any. But he was saved simply by the grace of God. With this portion of Scripture, this Psalm 31, it goes on, and Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust, let me never be ashamed, deliver me, Thy righteousness, bow down Thy ear to me, deliver me speedily, be Thou my strong rock, for a house of defense to save me. For Thou art my rock and my fortress, therefore, for Thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privately for me, for Thou art my strength. Into Thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. I have hated them that regard lying vanities. I trust in the Lord. James chapter 4 and verse 17 says, therefore to him that... the wrong one. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 6 and 7, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of departure is hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Even Paul towards the end said, hey, I need to trust in the Lord, I need to remember that I'm still going to go on for God. We know that in God's Word, we see that David said, "Oh, in Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust," in this very first verse. And verse 2 and 3, and we've read it, says, "Bow down thine ear to me, O Lord." Jesus is the only foundation that we need. David says to guide me. We need to ask the Lord to guide us. We need guiding. I appreciate Pastor Leakley in his expository way of preaching and telling about what this verse means and what that verse means. He's like a guide that guides us along. Most pastors, that's their job, to guide, to tell folks, hey, follow me or follow the Lord. Let me show you. Someone has said that telling someone about salvation is one beggar telling another beggar where to get bread. And that's what we need. We need a guide. I've never hired one. I've thought of going out fishing and hiring a guide. But you know, the guide in a hunting or a fishing situation knows where everything is. Knows how to lure the animal in or knows the spot where the big fish are. Now, I know that's an earthly example, but that's what we're looking for. That's what we need. God, David says, to guide me. We need to look to God. We need to look to His Word to be guided. Amen. That's why we hear from this pulpit week after week. Read the Bible. Read the Scriptures. Be guided by what they say. Jesus is the only foundation that we need. In verse 4, He says, pull me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privately for me, for Thou art my strength. Into Thy hand I commit my spirit. Jesus said that on the cross. Amen. Father, I commit my spirit unto Thee. Jesus used this very expression, into Thy hands I commend my spirit. Have you today committed your spirit to God through Jesus Christ? Has there been a time and a place where you said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner? Come into my heart and save me. I know that tonight we have a Christian crowd usually that comes in. And we sit here and we want to be taught from the Word of God, and that's what we're going to do. But maybe once in a while someone comes in that has never trusted the Lord, that likes religion. We pass out a little gospel tract. I don't have it up here, but it says, do you need religion? And on the inside of it says, no, you don't need religion. You need a relationship with Jesus Christ. And too many people have a religion. Oh yeah, I'm a Baptist. Oh, I'm a Presbyterian. I'm a Methodist. I'm Catholic. So many have a religion, but they don't have a relationship. And that's what we need. Have you today committed your spirit to God through Jesus Christ? Not only do we need to put our trust in Him, we need to put our troubles in His care. Put our troubles in His care. Look at verse number 7. I will be glad and rejoice in Thy mercy, for Thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities. Thou hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief. Yea, my soul and my belly, for my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. Our trouble, sin, iniquity, had made David weak. He did not have the power that he used to have. He did not have the power with God that he used to have. Now I know why Pastor preaches over here so much. There's only three over here. I think I'll start preaching to these three. They need it. They need it also. I like with the. Yeah, I'll go on. Remember, David had killed a bear and a lion. Remember, he had done that in his strength with God's help, I'm sure. Yet when he says, "For my life is spent with grief." Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I'm in trouble. My eye is consumed with grief. Yea, my soul and my belly. In verse number 11, he says this. Let's read it. I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. When sin ravages people, those around them will take notice and avoid them. When we're in the throes of sin, even the outside world sees it. Sin brought neglect in his life. In verse number 12, I am forgotten as a dead man. Out of mind, I am like a broken vessel. His life couldn't even hold water. He says, I'm a broken vessel. And folks, we don't need to be broken as a broken vessel. We need to be broken in our spirit as we come to God and to say, God, I want to be used of You. But we need to have something in our life that we can share with others. Sin brought brokenness. Sin brought neglect. Verse number 13, we see this saying, for I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side while they took counsel together against me, devised to take away my life. This is a life without God's blessing in verse number 13. This is a life without Jesus Christ. This is a life, but I want you to notice verse number 14 is a most blessed verse. But I trusted in Thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my God. Amen. We need to trust Him. We need to put our trust in Him. We need to rely upon Him. We need to believe on Him. Then, thirdly, we need to put our times on God's schedule. Verse number 15, kind of the title, the gist of this message. And I've been thinking about this lately. I have, my dear friend is in the hospital, and touch and go at this time, and we're hoping that he gets back, and I pray for him every day. I think about him all day long. I think about his life. But I think about what are we going to do? Brother Sharpetta had left the ministry, so to speak. He helped at a church for some 8 years, and a church came open near him. And he said, I'm not going to give my life anymore. I'm going to give it all to God. So he's been doing that, pastoring a small church in Warren, Michigan. And I think that's what I've made me think about these things, and made me think about this, that we need to consider what we're going to do for the rest of our life. Now, I'm not saying we don't have to go pastor church, we don't have to go surrender to the mission field, although you could. Remember, pastor just said, the last time that he spoke, that even, he didn't speak, he was talking about the missionary on Sunday night. And he said that even some retired people will surrender and they'll go to the field. You don't have to do that unless God leads you, of course. You can do things like visitation. Amen. Get out and talk to people about the Lord, inviting people out. Appreciate the fact we had a couple people brought their neighbor yesterday to Senior Saints, even to listen to Brother Matthews. Amen. Is that right, Brother Gary? Okay. And we had a good message on discipleship yesterday, and I enjoyed it very much. And and this folks bringing someone to church. Hey, why don't you come to church and have a free meal? That's a wonderful thing. I told my wife, hey, I'll take you out today. I'll get you a good meal. That was a cheap date. That's what we do. But folks, listen, we need to be considerate of the neighbors and considerate of folks. What are we going to do with the rest of our life? What are we going to do when we look at that X and see on the right how much time that we have left? Whatever it is, whatever we can do, tell people about the Lord. I'll tell you what, that is the most blessed thing. And how do we do that? Who has your time today? Where do you want that time you have left to be? First of all, I think you ought to seek God's favor. Look at verse 16. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Servant, save me for thy mercy's sake. Oh, what a blessed verse. Make thy face to shine upon thee. I'll tell you what, folks. We need to have God's favor. We need to be a servant. Do you want fame of the world? Do you want the community to applaud you? If you do, you leave God out of it. Amen? Because God wants nothing to do with this earthly fame. If it is fame that you want, you're looking for something that Solomon called vanity. Another thing we need to be, not only to be we also need to be unashamed. Unashamed. Look at verse 17. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon Thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. There shouldn't be one Christian that is ashamed. Even in the salvation of verses, can I just turn there very quickly? I just thought of it, and I'd like to turn there, Romans chapter 10. And you don't have to turn there, but I think about this verse, Romans chapter 10. We take these verses and we show people how to be saved. And we see and we show them, chapter 10, verse number 9, that if thou shalt confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. We do not need to be ashamed of our salvation or of our Lord. Amen. Sin robs us. When we get in the throes of sin, it robs us of our boldness. We become ashamed. We become, dragged down by sin. And that's what Satan wants. We need to be unashamed. We need to be fearless. Fearless of the world, but we need to have a good, healthy fear of God. Look what it says in verse number 19. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Fear of God causes us not to sin. John Wesley said this, the man who fears God fears no man. Proverbs 29, and verse number 25 says, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved. Tell you what, in our strength, in our reading of God's Word, in our salvation, we need to fear God so we do not fear men. We also need to be hidden with God. Look what it says in verse number 20. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man who shall keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. We hide ourselves in God. We can do anything we want for the Lord when we're hid in Him. Amen? When we stand behind the cross, as some preachers have said, the Lord talks about keeping us in the hollow of His hand and in the cleft of the rock in another place of the Scriptures. You have sin in your past? Join the club. We all have sin in the past. So did David. David had great sin. He talked about his great sin. David with Bathsheba. David's children had trouble. And David also had pride when he numbered the people. You know, when David committed sin with Bathsheba, 4 people died. Do you know when David sinned and his pride welled up and he numbered the people? Do you know how many people died because of that? 70,000 people died. Because David rose up in pride and counted the people. It shows you God hates pride. David had great sin. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Forget those things. Give it over to God. The mind is a terrible thing sometimes in the Christian life because we keep beating ourselves up with past sins. Don't worry about past sins. Get right with God and go forward. Another thing was we need to know God's kindness. Verse number 21 says this, blessed be the Lord, for He has showed me His marvelous kindness in a strong city. We sometimes are not kind because of impatience or selfishness, especially with the drivers in Ohio. I don't know why, but they pull up to the stop sign or the red light and they wait until the light turns until the next time. Do you understand? You pull up to a red light. This is on the side. You pull up to a red light. The light turns green and they stay there. Pull out into the intersection. And when that light turns, you can turn and maybe the guy next to you. Brother Geese, in Detroit, the third person goes through on a red light. that's just my selfishness and my impatience. I know that. So I've had to try to adjust to that. Folks, all joking aside, we are not, sometimes we're not kind. You know, sometimes we'll say things to people on the phone that we wouldn't ever say to anybody else because we're unseen. We're trying to get something taken care of. Now, I don't know about you. Sometimes I get a little bit testy trying to get things figured out, trying to get the doctor's appointment or the eye exam or whatever the case may be. Let's have some kindness about us, amen? Because God has been kind to us. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Amen? That's what we need to do. But I want to know the kindness of God. We also need to have the love of the Lord. Look at verse 23. O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Love God. Duty is good. I heard a famous preacher preach one time. Jack Hiles preached a message on duty. If you ever get a chance, go online, look it up. And you can even read his message. I've done that before. But what a powerful message of duty. Sometimes, folks, we do things just because it's our duty to do. We do things. We come to church. We get up and we go to church. Sometimes we don't feel like it. Sometimes it's inconvenient. Maybe the revival is going on during a time where maybe that you really don't want it to go on. Duty says go and be a part of it. Amen. Duty says to talk to that person. I tell you what, I am fearful sometimes to talk to people because I don't like to be rejected. Of course, nobody likes to be rejected. And some people are good at it, and the more you do it, the better you get. And the older we get, folks, it ought to be easy because I'm old. And what are they going to do to me? You know, I'm telling you, talk to that person. Give a track to that UPS guy. Give a track to someone in the grocery store. Give a track to your doctor. You know, I was sitting in the doctor's one day and going through the process, and he's looking me over, and I got all done, and I handed him a track and said, "Here, read this." And he took that track, and he sat down, and he opened up, and he read it. He said, "So you're a Christian?" It was just a shock to me, but I wouldn't have never known he was a Christian unless I gave him a tract. But whether he was not a Christian, there's been folks that have been saved just by a gospel tract or to tell somebody Jesus loves you. I don't know if I've told this here. I tell so much illustrations. I had an acquaintance in Ogden, Utah when we were there. He gave a testimony of this. He said, one day a UPS driver came in and delivered a package. And as he left, he said, "Jesus loves you." And he got to thinking about that, thinking about that, and thinking about that. He says, "You know, Jesus does love me." He got up that Sunday, went to church, and he accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. Just because a UPS guy said, "Jesus loves you." No, it was his, it was the birthday time, and Facebook. And I got a message from him saying happy birthday. And I said, "Thank you." And I said, "Rick, I remember that UPS guy." And he wrote back and says, "I remember that UPS guy too." Amen. And I'll tell you what. We need to love the Lord. We need to be of good courage. In verse number 24, "Be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord." That is a wonderful way to end a psalm. The psalm starts with trusting in God and ends with having courage for Him. True courage comes out of faith. It does not work the other way. So, what will we do with the life we have left? Will it be a life of God's favor, being unashamed, fearing God, being hidden with God, knowing God's kindness, loving the Lord, or in having courage? We cannot change the past, but we can live for God in the future. Amen? If you've had a good past, build on that past. If you've had a bad past, forget that past. I know, folks, that we need to keep the time. What are we going to do with the rest of our life? What are we going to do? Just for a moment, I want to read an illustration. I heard this illustration read before, and it impressed me. I just want to read it to you. It comes from a book called Don't Waste Your Life. It's written by John Piper. I don't agree with everything John Piper is or does, but this illustration is a wonderful illustration. To me, it was. He says, in April 2000, Ruby Eliason and Laura Edwards were killed in Cameroon, West Africa. Ruby was over 80, single all her life. She poured it out for one great thing, to make Jesus Christ known among the unreached, the poor, and the sick. Laura was a widow, a medical doctor, pushing 80 years old and serving at Ruby's side in Cameroon. The brakes failed, the car went over the cliff, and they were both killed instantly. I asked my congregation, was that a tragedy? Two lives driven by one great passion, namely to be sent in unheralded service to the perishing poor for the glory of Jesus Christ, even 2 decades after most of their American counterparts had retired to throw away their lives on trifles. No, that is not a tragedy. That is a glory. These lives were not wasted. And these lives were not lost. Remember the scripture in Mark chapter 8, 35, whosoever loses his life for my sake shall gain it. But another story is a tragedy. I will tell you what a tragedy is. I will show you how to waste your life. Consider a story from the February 1998 edition of Reader's Digest, which tells about a couple who took early retirement from their jobs in the Northeast 5 years ago when he was 59 and she was 51. Now they live in Punta Gorda, Florida, where they cruise on their 30-foot trawler, play softball, and collect shells. At first, when I read it, I thought it might be a joke, a spoof on the American dream. But it wasn't. Tragically, this was the dream. Come to the end of your life, your one and only precious God-given life, and let the last great work of your life, before you give an account to your Creator, be this: playing softball and collecting shells. Picture them before Christ at the great day of judgment. Look, Lord, see my shells. That is a tragedy. People today are spending billions of dollars to persuade you to embrace that tragic dream. Over against that, I put my protest. Don't buy it. Don't waste your life. When you get down to the end, as David said here, God, you have my time. You hold it. I'm paraphrasing now. But what time do we have left? Oh, there's nothing wrong with retirement. There's nothing wrong with playing softball, collecting seashells. But is that all you're going to do? Is that all we're going to do? Is that all I'm going to do? Go play pickleball with my wife somewhere? The only way she likes to play pickleball because she can beat me. Is that all I'm going to do? Folks, I want to serve God. I want to keep the rest of my life going forward for the Lord. Going fishing, going hunting, whatever the case may be. Whatever other pet thing that folks like to do. There's nothing wrong with those things. I've done most of them, all of them. I remember taking my boys fishing when we were out in Utah. We went out, went fishing, and had a good time. But on Sunday, and on during the week, we were trying to serve the Lord. We're trying to get people saved, trying to get people into the house. We brought kids in a van. You know, Brother Braden's van? We had a van just like that. We would go out and pick up kids and bring them in. We had up to 60 people in a little chapel that was 30 feet, or by 12 feet by 30 feet. 60 people in a Christmas program. a room that could hardly hold 30, and we had 60 in there. I'm glad that we were able to serve the Lord. But I don't want to stop. I don't want to be done. I want to be a service to Him. And I hope that's your attitude tonight. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Let's have a word of prayer.